turn our attention to the National Hockey League and our NHL on Sportsnet Insider, Hockey Night in Canada headlines guy, Chris Johnston. Chris, how are you?
I'm doing well, gentlemen. How are you doing?
Good. Good to have you along. I was at the game last night, and I don't get to too many where I'm a fan and get to sit and have a pop and take it in that way. I had a friend from out west who wanted to go see, and I felt like for the first time I could really jump on that bandwagon that I wish they'd just play the 3-on-3 when they got to that point and keep going, because the shootout kind of felt like it brought a real atmosphere to a halt. That was as good of a 3-on-3 as I remember, with guys like Goodrow and Marner and Matthews out on the ice. What did you think?
Well, it certainly helps when you have Johnny Goodrow involved. For my money, he would be
unreal,
on your all 3-on-3 team if you were to go around the league. You know, he might not be the absolute most skilled player, but there's something about
with that ice,
that for him is a positive. And, you know, obviously Austin's had a couple overtime winners this year. William Nylander scored a 3-on-3 overtime winner this season. I mean, Elise have all kinds himself. And, you know, it really has been one of the rule changes, I think, that's worked to the satisfaction of the NHL, is going to that format. And you know, they have talked a little bit, Brad, about possibly extending it to try to lessen the impact of the shootout. But it's too bad that you didn't get one there. But, you know, it was a pretty entertaining night, and always good when you have two Canadian teams playing as we did last night.
Mm-hmm. Chris, when you look at the Leafs actually winning multiple times this year in the shootout after all the talk last year, is there anything beyond just, you know, natural small sample size variances that you can attribute it to? I mean, are they feeling a little bit better in those situations this year? Is anything different for them when they get to a shootout?
It doesn't seem to be nearly in their heads the same way. And, you know, I think some of that's Frederik Andersen. If you looked at his numbers when he came to the Leafs at the start of last year, he was one of the poorest performing goaltenders who'd been in a number of shootouts, and that steadily improved over the last little while. And, you know, I've talked to him a little bit about that. He's gone through stretches where he's wanted to hear from the coaching staff about tendencies of the other shooters, and to where he felt that was getting in his mind a little bit too much, and then he was, you know, thinking too much rather than reacting to what was happening in front of him. And, you know, through one way or another, he seems to have, you know, righted his ship a bit, and, you know, the Leafs are scoring more goals too. So, you know, I don't know that there's a magic formula. They poured a ton of time into it last year, and they would even have one of their coaches on the bench with an iPad in that little break when they were scraping the ice to have the players go over it. And, you know, they seem to have almost de-emphasized it a little bit, and you know, just perhaps the skill that the team has is allowed them to have some more success to start this year.
No doubt about it, without the guy between the pipes last night, the Leafs don't get the win, probably don't get a point, and the chance of Freddie beginning to roll through. You haven't heard really a goaltender celebrated in this town since basically the Joseph and Belfour days back-to-back, and there's a bit of a growing campaign now, and again, it's early, we're just passing the quarter pole, but that he should start to get consideration when you begin to compile the Vezina candidates. So I'm not going to give an award out today, but has he, after the shaky stretches of his early tenure with Toronto, has he leveled out to be what you would consider an elite goalie now?
He's showing signs of it. It's funny how we deal in these streets here. In October, everyone was ready to fire him into the sun.
Exactly.
Everyone wants to put him on stage as one of the best. You know, to me, he's got to show it over a long period of time. I mean, consistency has been a minor issue, I'd say, for Frederik Andersen over his career. And, you know, he's had two straight seasons as a Leaf where he started poorly, and last year he finished great. He's showing signs, certainly, in an amazing November this year. He was one of the Leafs players of the month, and you know, was the main reason, as you mentioned, they got 2 points in that game last night. But, you know, I think that we're going to have to see it over a longer period of time before he gets serious consideration for that award. But, you know, certainly he's a higher-end goalie, if not an elite goalie. And you know, I think he's a goalie capable of winning a Stanley Cup. There's no doubt in my mind that he's giving you at least that, depending on the team around him. So the Leafs are happy with him. They made a pretty big bet on him to make a deal to bring him here and immediately give him a $25 million contract. But he's been worth every dollar so far, and is a big reason why this team's kind of skidded a little bit of late, but it doesn't show up in the wins and losses because he's been excellent.
Chris, you mentioned quite rightly how the opinion on him can vary so quickly based on, you know, one or two or three games. But I'm curious your take on the Leafs' overall defensive play. Are they a little bit better, substantially better, or quite a bit better defensively than they were last year?
I think the jury's still out, to be honest. I mean, we've seen some games where you might, you know, conclude that they've gotten better. You know, certainly the one in Calgary last week comes to mind when they held the Flames to 20 shots, didn't give Johnny Gaudreau and some of their most dangerous players any good looks, and then, you know, made that look like a very matter-of-fact win. But, you know, I think on balance, through almost 30 games here, there's not one trend. I mean, they're giving up a lot of shots. In the possession metrics, they're not among the absolute elite of the league, but I think they've won a lot of games, obviously, because of the skill they have, and they can outmatch most teams just with depth of forwards right now. So, you know, I'm not willing to say that they're better. They're not worse. And, you know, to me, it still remains something that I think they'll address in one form or another leading into the trade deadline at the end of February is perhaps trying to bolster the defense and you know, have a team around them as well play a little bit more defensively. They seem to have strides there, Shy, where at a point in the season, it was almost like they were trying to win every game 8-5 and you know, getting into far more of trading chances type of games. I mean, I think we've seen them cut back on that a little bit of late, but they're still giving up a lot of shots. I mean, a lot more than you would expect from, you know, a team that has some pretty high aspirations as they do.
Yeah, 48 last night to the Flames, 5 of those in the extra session. We'll get to we're with Chris Johnson of the NHL and Sportsnet. We'll get to the injury in Vancouver, talk a little bit about the Habs, who the Flames play tonight. But Matthew Tkachuk, a guy in the concourse last night between periods, a Flames fan, had his jersey on, and he was walking through, and everybody was booing. And some other Flames fan said, he's doing his job. So where's the line? He's walking it in terms of doing your job or getting to the point where the NHL is going to have enough of his, to use that term, act. He gets one game. So tell me, is that a fair suspension? And secondly, is he now going to be on their radar if something else happens that he's going to be getting longer?
Well, he's been on their speed dial, and he's only been in the league for a year.
So,
I mean, he was getting called repeatedly last year before they suspended him for the first time. I mean, they were trying not to suspend him and hoping that, you know, having a dialogue with him and pointing out times, you know, he had a couple slew foots last season that didn't rise to the level of suspension at that point. But where the Department of Player Safety was trying to steer him clear of this, I mean, now you look at it, he's had three suspensions in 103 games. He's very much on the radar. I think the act last night where he, you know, jabbed Matt Martin with a stick, you know, for any other player or most other players would not have been a suspension at all. It would have been, you know, likely a fine and a call. But, you know, he's got no benefit of the doubt with the league at this point. And, you know, it's up to Matthew Tkachuk and perhaps the Flames and the coaching staff around him to find that line and to rein it in a bit because, you know, he still is a very good player. He's made a lot of headlines for the nonsense, but he's also been a top six forward for them right out of the gate and is an important part of that Flames team. And, you know, he's got to find a way not to be getting the attention of the NHL for the wrong reasons because, you know, they go into a game tonight. It's a big game for them on a back-to-back in Montreal, and now they're down, you know, one of their better forwards. And you know, he's of no value to them in the press box, and certainly I do know at the league level, everything he does is under close scrutiny just because they've had to talk to him, you know, too much in his first foray here in the league.
Chris, I'm curious just from hearing you say that for other guys in the league that's a fine or a suspension, but the fact that he's getting involved in on-ice altercations from the bench, what's the league's rationale in not making that a more hefty discipline?
I think that there's a lack of viciousness there, Shai. I mean, you know, we've seen a few instances this year. There's a time when a player squirted someone with a water bottle, you know, from the bench, and that was a fine. There wasn't a lot of malice in what he was doing. He was kind of just being more a thorn in the side at that point. But, I mean, we're only a few weeks removed from him being suspended a game for a similar act in Detroit where he was using a stick on someone, in this case, off the ice. I really do think that they take it seriously. I think I could see the criticism that it's one game, but you know, it's one game. It's a big game for his team. It's $11,000 out of his pocket. I mean, to me, and then more than anything, it's probably the Flames being pretty upset with him today because They'd rather be able to put him in a lineup than whoever's coming in this place. You know, from the NHL standpoint, I think that that's a lot. I just think the biggest issue for him is if he does anything more serious and more vicious next time, I mean, you're looking at compound interest on his next suspension, if there is one. And, you know, that's something he's going to want to avoid.
So the Flames get the Habs tonight, and they've kind of found each other in the standings, albeit in different conferences. But the Flames have lost three straight, 4 of 5. The Habs won the first 5 with Carey Price back and suffered their first loss last time out against St. Louis. So which streak is more reflective of who the respective teams are? The Flames going in that direction or the Habs trending upwards?
Probably the Habs trending upwards, I would say. You know, I think the Flames are a good team, and you know, they've had some consistency issues. But, you know, I don't really have big level concerns for them. You know, whereas Montreal, it was, you know, we're near fires in the street there, it felt like, at points early in the season where, you know, people, there's a lot of reaction to their struggles. And you know, I think Carey Price, just playing like Carey Price, it elevates them back to being a playoff-level team. And that's, you know, where they are now after, you know, winning 5 of the 6 games since he's returned to the lineup. So, you know, I think more reflective of what they are as a team is you know, is a decent, you know, middle-of-the-pack Eastern Conference team with Carey Price playing at his best, and then, you know, and we're starting to see that now, and it's been reflected in their success. Now, whereas Calgary, I'd be surprised if we kept seeing them slide away and losing 6 or 7 or 8 or 9 in a row. I just think that they're too good to be that sort of team, and frankly, their losing streak should have ended last night in Toronto. They just ran into a hot goalie and weren't able to get 2 points.
Chris, in terms of Montreal's resurgence, and you touched on Carey Price being Carey Price again, but for the sustainability of the way that they've played, is it as simple as Carey Price has to be amazing, or you know, can they get more from Drouin or Pacioretty or somebody else on their roster that is going to help them really kind of maintain the pace that they've been on?
That would help. I mean, Drouin hasn't worked out to this point to what I think everyone would have hoped. I mean, he's been out here at the last little while and, you know, missed some games earlier in the season. He hasn't found his stride yet in that team, and then, you know, as a frontline scorer for them. And you know, certainly Pacioretty's had some ups and downs this year, and you look at his track record, and certainly I think it's fair to expect more goals from him. So all that will help Montreal. But, you know, there's a reason they paid Carey Price $84 million this summer and made him the highest paid goaltender in NHL history. I mean, he has more value. I mean, goalies on every team have a lot of value to their team, but I think he carries a little bit more weight than most. And then it will be up to him to be above average, to live up to that contract, and also to provide what is expected of him in that dressing room and for that team. And, you know, I think he's shown he's capable of that when healthy. I mean, that's now the biggest question mark around Carey Price, because it's a few seasons in a row where he's missed time with injury, and you know, there's always a little air of mystery around what it is and you know, if it's nagging at him. But, you know, a healthy Carey Price, I think, is carrying more weight than the average goaltender, just because of the way the Habs are built, the way they've allocated their money and the salary picture. And you know, he can do it. But the question is really how healthy he'll be to see if he can carry them down the stretch and back into the playoffs.
Hey, Canucks play host to the Philadelphia Flyers tonight. As a kid to grow up in Vancouver, that was always a New Year's Eve game. They started early. It was a raucous atmosphere with the Flyers in there. That's the first thing I thought of when I saw it. But the big news in Vancouver is it'll be the first night without Bo Horvat, who they say 6 weeks with that fractured foot. And for those people who live in the East and don't see a lot of the West Coast games, boy, what a blow that is to a team that's had a great start. And also to the kid, Brock Besser, who's been riding shotgun with Horvat. It's going to be make it a very difficult stretch till the end of January without him, isn't it, Chris?
It is. I mean, the Canucks have probably outpunched their weight class at this point in the season. Had a little bit more success than most of us paid to watch from up high would have thought. And you know, losing one of your impact forwards is going to be a tough hole to fill. And you know, we won't rule them out at this stage, certainly, but, you know, there's no obvious answer for them. Maybe lean on Sam Gagner a little bit more, who's been quiet since coming over there as a free agent in the summertime. But, you know, sometimes there's no easy way to make up for the loss of your best players. And you know, Brock Besser, fortunately, I think, is the kind of scorer, just with the way he shoots. He's not relying on, you know, a perfect pass into an empty net. I mean, he's beating goalies straight up. He's got a tremendous release and And I think we'll be able to carry on without him. And, you know, it's all about just next man up, I think, for the Canucks. And you know, really, I don't know that there were too many expectations on that team for the reasons I mentioned. So, you know, maybe they'll continue to find a way to defy the odds a little bit or defy the predictions and win without Bo Horvat. But certainly the tough news for him and for the team, because you know, he's one of the pieces of the future. He's,
absolutely.
That delivered on his promise here since being drafted.
Yeah, and I was going to say now a final one for you on that front is that, as we know, the Sedin's ice time's been down. They looked great the last couple of games, seemed to find their stride, which maybe is not the best word for them, because obviously it's the foot speed that's struggling as they get older and the game is changing. But does Henrik maybe get more ice time now? He's down about four and a half minutes a game, what he's used to, with the absence of Horvat. Would that be one way they would go, you think?
Well, it seems inevitable that would happen. I mean, it's actually worked out well. I know a lot's been made of them as kind of fourth liners. You know, perhaps the first team in NHL history to have 2,000-point scorers on the fourth line, this Canucks team. But, you know, it does make sense that he would eat up some more of those minutes. And, you know, there's different ways that it could happen. I mean, we've seen a trend around the league now where teams are really balancing out their lines. You know, there's a lot less of the traditional 1-2-3-4 where you can number the lines on a team. And, you know, maybe this will prompt some wider changes to the lineup where you see Henrik moved up. I assume Daniel will come with them because they do always seem to come as a pair and play together. But, you know, they can probably handle a little bit more than they've been given. And, you know, there'll be some comfort there, too, from Travis Green with the Twins.
Yeah. All right, Chris. So we'll look forward to headlines on Saturday night on Hockey Night in Canada. Thanks for joining us.
All right, guys. Thank you.
Be well, Chris.